We are needy creatures. We need lots of things. We need food. We need shelter. We need companionship. We need comfort. We need strength. We need encouragement. And Jesus will satisfy our needs. We're going to talk about that this evening. We're not going to talk about all of the needs that Jesus might satisfy, but I do want to make reference to the things that we studied just a few weeks ago on Wednesday night in Matthew chapter 6, where we're told that God will take care of even our physical needs if we will put our focus on doing His will. If we'll devote ourselves to righteousness, we can have our needs satisfied. And to some degree, that's what we're talking about this evening. Our needs are satisfied through Christ. If we devote ourselves to righteousness, to the will of God, to doing what God would have us to do, Jesus can fulfill our needs. We've made reference to John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31 several different times, but I want you to notice the part that's here in yellow, some kind of yellow anyway. By believing the things that are written, Jesus will even give us life. And isn't that ultimately what we're seeking for? Is life through Jesus Christ? But as we stated, there are a number of things that we need, and we're going to focus on things that are more in the spiritual realm than the physical realm. Maybe sometime we'll spend some time dealing in a little more detail with how Jesus takes care of our physical needs as well. But I want us to look at this from the light of these are things not only that I need, but even more importantly, they're things that my friends and my neighbors and my coworkers and my schoolmates need. Because these are needs of all mankind, not just a select few, but everyone. From the very beginning of time, we have recognized by reading through the Word of God that the human being, men, in particular in Genesis, and men and women both, when we consider all throughout history, need companionship, need fellowship. And Jesus can provide to us that fellowship. We read in the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, God looked upon man, it was not good that he be alone. And so he created woman to be with her, to be with him, to provide him companionship. And we look through the history of mankind there in the book of Genesis, in the book of beginnings, and we find time and time again, man seeking out companionship, seeking out fellowship. Even in the days of Israel, when David was running from King Saul, he sought out companionship from those who were like him. Jesus can provide the fellowship that we need. When the Apostle Paul was speaking to those in the city of Athens in Acts chapter 17, verse 26 through 28 that we have on the screen here, he says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him and find Him. Yet He's actually not far from each one of us, for in Him we live and move and have our being, as even some of our own poets have said, for we are His offspring." What Paul points out here, or what we can draw from what Paul has to say here to these men who are listening to him in the city of Athens, is that not only do we need fellowship among men, but there is a need within us to fellowship with God. We need to be in a relationship with our Creator. Jesus can provide that relationship. Jesus can bring us to God. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, we read, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." We need God, and we need Him in our lives, and Jesus is the one who can bring us to God. Now notice how we said that. Jesus will bring us to God. He won't bring God to us. He'll bring us to God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. For from now on, you do know him and have seen him. In Jesus, we can have fellowship with the Father. Why do we need this fellowship? Because he is our Creator. He's the one that provides all of our blessings, both spiritual and physical. They all come from God. And we have an innate need within us to be in a relationship with God. Even those who deny that there is a God, in the way they conduct themselves and the actions that they take, and even in sometimes in the words that they say, we can see that they desire something beyond just human companionship. How many of those that tell us there is not a God talk about there being more powerful beings out there somewhere? And they're seeking them. Why? Because we have a need to be in fellowship with our Creator. We need to be close to Him. And through Jesus, we can have that fellowship. What a blessing that we could provide to our neighbors and our friends in helping them find how to fellowship with the Creator. Through teaching them about Jesus. Through demonstrating to them through the way we conduct our own lives how Jesus can bring us to the very presence of God and make God a part of our lives. If we know Jesus, we know God. Of course, we also have a need of salvation. This is something that we don't always recognize. Sometimes we have to be woken up, hit upside the head to get our attention in order to realize that we need salvation. But we need salvation because we have been separated from God through our own iniquities and our sins. That's what Isaiah told the Israelites long ago, and the same thing applies today. Our iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. It's not that God can't do anything. His hand isn't shortened. His ear isn't dull. But we've separated ourselves from God. And we need Him in our lives. We need His presence because we are human. In Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23, Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23, we read, what comes out of a person is what defiles him, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person. Now, isn't that a pretty accurate list of what the world around us is involved in today? Even some who claim to be religious are just filled with these sort of things. And Jesus tells us that it's because it's in our heart. And those things have separated us from God. They've put us in a position to where we need to find a way to get back to God. And certainly the Scripture makes it very clear that Jesus is that way. Not only the passage we read a moment ago, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. But notice what Jesus has to say in John chapter 8, verse 34 through 36. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, Jesus uses the example of Moses and the serpent in the wilderness. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes will have eternal life in Him, or whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Using the illustration of the serpent that Moses raised up in the wilderness to save the Israelites from the snake bites that God sent upon them because of their wickedness, Jesus says the Son of Man will be raised up, and in a similar manner, those that look to Him through that sacrifice, that raising up on the cross, and all the things that are involved in that, death, burial, and resurrection, can have salvation, can reach eternal life, can know a relationship with God. When Jesus was nearing the end of His time here upon this earth, and He was giving instruction to His apostles, from the very beginning of the time He started talking to them about the fact that He was going to be gone, He emphasized that it was a necessity. And in John chapter 16, beginning in verse 5, we're going to begin. Jesus again speaks to His apostles regarding these things. He says, "But now I'm going to Him who sent me, and none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Now I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that He takes of mine and will disclose it to you. A little while and you will no longer see me. And again a little while and you will see me." Jesus here in this discourse tells His apostles that I'm leaving. And it is necessary that I leave, because I have to leave before the One can come who's going to reveal to you all things. And these are not things that He's going to reveal to you of Himself, but they are the things that I give Him to reveal. Once again, through Jesus, we find salvation. By reading and understanding what Jesus has to say to His apostles here, and considering the things that are found throughout the pages of Scripture as they went about preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ, we understand that we come to know Jesus through the Word. That's why we tell folks, in order for them to be saved, they've got to know the Word of God, because that's where Jesus is revealed to us. We need salvation. We are wicked and evil creatures when left to our own devices. I have really no major hesitation in saying that anyone, no matter how good that person might be, if left to guide themselves without the instruction of the Word of God, will fall into trouble. Will get themselves caught up in things of the world, and certainly those things would separate us from God. Without the Word, we cannot find salvation, because it is the Word that shows us Jesus, and it is Jesus through whom we're saved. Jesus fills our need for salvation. But that leads us into the next thing we want to consider. We are a people that need guidance. It's not in man to direct his own steps. Man's not capable of directing his own way. As we stated, alone we find trouble. Separated from God and the teachings of righteousness that we find in the Word of God, we find difficulty. We find hardship. And we get away from God. Jesus is the way that will give us guidance. Jesus leads us. And His leadership is essential in our lives. And once again, consider this from the standpoint of, I know these things. You know these things. What about the people that I meet each and every day? Do they know these things? With the knowledge that I have about the importance to Jesus, or the importance of Jesus in fulfilling our needs, our greatest needs, our spiritual needs, our eternal needs, doesn't it fall upon me the responsibility to see that people know Jesus? The importance of talking to people about Jesus? It's more than just telling someone, hey, I'd like you to come to church with me. They need to understand why coming to church is so important. What's the difference about coming to church and sitting at home? Well, coming to church, you get to know Jesus more. Why is it so important that we spend time? Because it teaches you about Jesus, and Jesus is the one that can satisfy your needs. Jesus is the one that can bring you salvation. Jesus is the one that can give you guidance because He leads. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'm the good shepherd. Turn with me over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We want to begin in verse 7 of John chapter 10. Jesus uses this imagery of a shepherd. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door, and if anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus leads us as a shepherd leads the sheep. He has concern and care for us, for our well-being, for our knowledge, for the need of salvation that each one of us has. And He's there to guide us. He does that today through His Word. When Jesus was speaking here in John chapter 10, He was upon the earth and He could give direct guidance to the apostles, to the disciples that followed after Him. Shortly after this time, we have the time of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that the apostles and many of the early Christians had, that allowed them to know the Word of God, because the Comforter came, the Helper came and instructed them in all the ways of righteousness. Not only the things that Jesus had not yet revealed to them, but also reminding them of all the things that Jesus had taught them. And what else can we say? But this is the guide path that we need in order to find fellowship with God, in order to be saved, in order to enter into eternal life. Jesus leads us. He leads us today through His Word. Jesus stood before Pilate in John chapter 18 and verse 37. Pilate said, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." There's that same imagery that he presented when he talked about himself being a shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. I know my sheep. I'm a guide to my sheep. Jesus can be a guide to people today. But in order for them to know Jesus as a guide, we've got to get them acquainted with Jesus. The song, I never can remember whether it's in these songbooks or not. I don't think it is. It's in the old Sacred Selection songbooks. The World's Bible. And there's several passages in that song, several phrases that get this point across. But the one that, whenever I think of this song, the one phrase that comes to mind almost immediately, Christ has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. He has no hands but our hands to do His will today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. Some might be wondering, why in the world is Dan Henderson up here telling me, who's been a Christian for 30 or 40 years, that I need Jesus in my life? To remind you that your neighbors need Jesus in their life. To remind you that you have a cure And you're the only one that can give it to your neighbors and your friends. You are the guide for them to Jesus. Jesus will be their guide once they find Him, once they come to know Him. And I'm not talking about knowing my Jesus. I'm talking about coming to know the Jesus that is revealed to us in the Word of God. There's a lot of people out there in the world that think they know Jesus. But He's not the Jesus that the Spirit revealed. He's not the Jesus that came and was the very presence of God on earth. They know the world's Jesus. The love and happy and everything's good and bright and beautiful. But the Jesus we see in Scripture is more than that. He's just. He's righteous. He judges. He directs. He commands. He instructs. And expects us to follow. Jesus will lead them as He leads us. But they've got to know about Him first. The apostles were set apart as special messengers of Jesus Christ for what purpose? To let people know about Jesus. They were to go out and witness for Christ. John and Peter both make statements in their epistles indicating that they understood that they were eyewitness testimony to others about Christ. We're the same thing today. Mankind needs sustenance. Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give, he will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Are you beginning to see a little bit of a theme here? All of these things that Jesus does for us in filling our needs, in almost every case, when He talks about them, it leads to eternal life. How many of us, if we were in the midst of a drought, one where water was scarce and could not be found, and everybody was trying to find water, how many of us who found water would hide it, keep it away from the people that we love, keep it to ourselves and ourselves alone? Or if we decided to share it, we would only share it with those who were people like us. I'm not going to share it with anybody that's different than me or anybody that has a different attitude than I do. They don't need this water. Me and my friends and all the people that are like me need this water. Well, if we learned of somebody like that, we wouldn't think very much of them, would we? Jesus tells us that He is the water that everyone needs. He is the water that leads to eternal life. And there's not a soul on the face of this earth that does not need that sustenance. And Jesus will provide if we'll do our part in leading them to Him. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. These things I have spoken to you," Jesus said in John 15, "that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." We use the imagery of food and water and we readily recognize that, but how many people do you know that want a little joy in their life? That would like to find peace? How many of the people in your life are searching for just a moment of happiness or peace, tranquility? Jesus can be that for them. In John 14, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give to you, but let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Or is it Paul told the Philippian brother? Peace that's beyond our understanding, beyond anything that we can comprehend, is a peace that we can receive from Jesus. And we all have friends and neighbors who are looking for peace, true peace. They're looking out in this world of chaos and destruction and pain and sorrow, and they're looking for some hope. They're looking for peace. They're looking for meaning in life. And Jesus can fill us with all of these things. John 16, "I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus has come on this earth and lived his life and died the death on the cross and was raised again so that we could come into a relationship with God, so that we could find salvation from our own wickedness, so we could be saved from ourselves. Doesn't everybody we know need saving? Jesus is there to guide us down the pathway that leads to eternity. He will sustain us and fill us and give us the things that we need in order to make that journey. Are we going to hold them to ourselves? Or are we going to share them with the world? Because as we've made mention of several times, and as we pointed out at the very beginning of the lesson, what we're looking for is life. All of these things that we have talked about that we need, talking about them in a spiritual sense, and we need life. There's an hour coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. There's a day coming when we're all going to stand before God, and it's going to be either death or life. That's the two choices. We have everything that we need through the revealed word that tells us of Jesus, so that we can stand on the side that has life. John chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Do you think your neighbors and your friends and your family want to live? Or would they rather die? Jesus can fill our needs. Jesus will fill our needs. And the greatest need of all is the need of eternal life. Maybe you noticed a lot of the passages that we looked at this evening were from the book of John. John tells us that the things that he wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit are sufficient to allow us to believe that Jesus can give us eternal life. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke contain those fruits as well. The book of Acts gives us instruction and example after example of how to apply those teachings and how to take advantage of the things that Jesus offers to us so that we can have eternal life. When we look at the epistles, the ones that Paul wrote and all the others, they show us how to interact with one another and how to use that word to direct our lives and to follow the guidance of Jesus, both in working together as a congregation and living our lives as individuals in this world. And the point of all of it is to get us to eternal life. Over and over and over through that instruction, we're told, don't just save yourself, but
but do your part to save others. Spread your the example of the first century Christians before persecution. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. The Apostle Paul went everywhere preaching the word. The apostles preached the word. The men who were appointed in Acts chapter 6 to do physical labor and take care of the needy saints there in Jerusalem went out spreading the word. Set an example of at least two of them immediately thereafter, preaching and teaching the gospel, Stephen and Paul. Philip continued in it even when he left Jerusalem. If I need Jesus, and you need Jesus, don't they need Jesus? Jesus came so that man could find salvation. Not just so that I could find salvation. Everyone. We know that Jesus provides. We know that Jesus fills our needs. Are we talking to other people about Jesus? We're going to have discussions about a number of things, but our focus needs to be, do you know God's Son? And are you listening to Him in your life? People need Jesus. Because it is only Jesus that can fulfill our true needs. Put diligent in your own heart this evening and ensure that you're living in accordance with the will of God. If you find that you have strayed from the path that Jesus has directed, you stop following His guidance, even in just one little way, encourage you to come back to Him. Confess your wrongs and ask Him to forgive. If you've never obeyed the gospel, certainly you don't have the guidance of Jesus in your life. Without Him. And you will stand in judgment on the side that's appointed for those who will die rather than those who will live. If you want to live for eternity, give your life to the Lord Jesus. Confess your belief in Jesus, turning from your sins. You can be buried in baptism to receive salvation that comes through forgiveness of sins because of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. Whatever your condition this evening, if your condition can assist you in getting things right with the Lord, we encourage you to come and let your desire be known while we stand with you.